John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so as we look at this passage here, we see peace and triumph over all. Of all the great comforts and all the great inspirations ever known to man, the greatest of all are the eternal truths of God's precious word. Wonderful peace, supernatural strength, are all free for believing God's precious word and its promises. Nothing comforts like the word of God. Nothing gives peace like the word of God. Nothing gives hope like the word of God. Nothing gives strength in the midst of trials like the word of God. Nothing gives blessed assurance like the word of God. It is the great foundation stone for all things good. All things needful are found in the word of God. The Bible even says, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we see here in this verse, a wonderful verse, and if you've been a Christian for some time, you've been persecuted, you've been slandered, you've had tribulation, you've lost your job, you've been, for whatever reason, troubled. This verse has been precious. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so the peace of Christ, this is our first thing that we want to look at this morning, is the peace of Christ. All that Jesus has said to his people is for our peace. He is our great Prince of Peace. A better word for peace, as it's used in the Scripture, but for the sake of maybe the time or space in writing the Scripture, but is that word tranquility, to be tranquil. Tranquility, we get our word tranquilizer from it, because it puts something to sleep without killing it. So, but Jesus is our rest. He's our great sea of tranquility. He's the peace of sereneness. That's another beautiful word for peace, is serene. This is what he is to us. And by the way, that is our greatest need. Of all our needs besides Christ and his salvation, I'm talking about once we're in Christ, what is our greatest need now? His peace. You notice how Paul in his letters always begins grace and peace. Because all of God's blessings begin with his grace, and all of them are to end or find their full experience in peace, sereneness, calmness of heart and mind before him. All that Jesus has said to us is for our peace. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. He is our Prince of Peace, and only he can give us true, real peace of mind and soul before God. You know, for all the laughter and yuckety-yucks of Hollywood and all their outward appearance of happiness, inside they have no peace of mind. Inside they have no peace of conscience, no peace of heart. For the soul cannot find real peace, fulfilling, satisfying, complete peace until we have everything settled with God in Christ. When all is settled with God in Christ, when all our sins are washed away, when we have this assurance that God's word is true, that he loves us, Jesus loves me, this I know, then we have peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and only he can give us real peace of mind and soul before God. And the scripture says that over and over again. The verses, some of the verses in Ephesians are about this peace. And incredible parts of how He alone is our peace. Secondly, the peace of Christ is the feeling of being forgiven, the experience, the feeling, the knowledge of being forgiven, a quiet conscience, a calming sense of the love of God, the repose of our faith in Christ Jesus, a trust in His promises, a sense of the Father's love, the hush of the sweet Holy Spirit within your heart. That silences all worry and fear. So grace is the bud of all blessings. All of God's blessings come to us beginning in grace, His grace to us. But the flower of those blessings are to be His peace. It's like when we go to eat a meal. It's just an illustration, even though a little bit crude as far as describing the peace of God. When we go to eat a meal, we ask God's blessings on it. You know, because we're enjoying it, and it's fulfilling. It tastes good. Thank God for taste buds, you know, and the wonderful, you know, the taste of fruits and food is just such a blessing that God put those different flavors into it, different fragrances around us. But we pray, we ask God's blessing on it because we're not fulfilled or we don't have peace unless we say, what, grace, right? And so it is that way with all of God's blessings that come to us are by His grace, but they are for our peace. And so we're to pray until we have peace with God. We're to meditate on God's word until it brings us peace. We're to be in the church at peace with one another. What does the Bible say about the disciples? They were all of one accord, of one mind. Right? Now, loving one another, and that's wonderful, and that love is especially seen by being at peace with one another. The peace of Christ is your greatest need as God's child. Heavenly joy may be your delight, but His peace is your need. Amen. To believe that you are fully forgiven and to have peace with God is indispensable. There's nothing like it. It is heaven on earth. This heavenly assurance, this peace with God, is heaven on earth. Peace is the fulfillment of the work of Christ for you, that you may say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." And then the whole rest of the psalm is about comfort and peace. The peace of Christ is your greatest need. If you are a Christian, but you do not have God's peace, you are of all people most miserable. If you do not have God's peace, maybe you are grieving the Holy Spirit with some unconfessed sin or unrepented sin or something you're holding on to that He asked you to get rid of or sacrifice for Him. Maybe you're grieving the Holy Spirit and so you don't have peace. Maybe you're preoccupied with a load of worldly cares that burden you, that stress you, that cause you to worry, and which you can't do anything about anyway. And that is sin. To worry is sin. To stress is sin. You know, it may not be sin to begin to do it, because that's human nature. It may not be sin to be alarmed at first, or be stressed at first, or to worry at first, but it is a sin to stay that way. Amen. And so, those worldly cares which you can't do anything about anyway is just foolishness to be wasting your time instead of looking to Jesus. He said, in me, you have peace. And so, if you're a Christian, don't have peace, the remedy is to draw near to Jesus, who is our peace. His work on the cross, meditate on that He did it for you. That is His way of peace. And the book of Ephesians says that's how He broke down all divisions and made peace, is through His cross. His prayers for you, His grace and mercy for you, His promises to you, His Spirit in you, and His union with you as being a bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. We are His body. We are His bride. We too have become one. It's all for your peace. As Jesus said in one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite passages, it was the passage that eventually led me to call on Christ, and it's Matthew 11:28-31. Come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, we are yoked together with Him. He always takes the fiercest heat of the battle. He always takes the coldest side of the night. He always, yoked together with Christ, He always bears the brunt of the burden. There's a great poem, I wish I'd have included it here, but it's called about leaning on Christ. Lean on me with your full weight. Lean on me with your full care, as the poem is saying. This is your job as a Christian, is to lay all your cares upon me, to lean heavy on me, to lay everything on me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace unto your souls is what He's promising. Amen. And so, the peace which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus is followed. That verse, the beginning of it is, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep watch over your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. Or as Jesus says here, in me you may have peace. Now there's this tribulation of the world that's spoken of here. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And so, this world, Jesus promised us, is our bed of roses, right? This is our cushion of comfort. No, it's not. It's enemy territory. It's dangerous ground. It's a world that is filled with demons. You know, in other countries, if we were to go to some of these places, demonic possession would seem apparent. Demonic oppression, I've read where missionaries who believe and preach like we do, have gone into places and touring through the jungles, have stopped in like an old temple or an old idol worshiping place, which other countries are full of, and have stayed the night, only to be awoken in the middle of the night with the feeling of hands strangling them or pulling their hair or beating their wife when no one was there. The demonic world is very apparent in other places of the world and not so apparent here. But if you look, you see it. Every person who molests a little child, every person who rapes a woman, every drug pusher who sells a little kid dope, there's demonic possession. Every person who is willing to beat somebody up, hurt somebody to steal what they have, that's the work of the devil. And so, it's all around. You know, it's amazing to me that people don't know. They get on the internet and they surf the web. Did you know 90% of all traffic on the internet is on what they call the deep web or the dark web? And that 99% of people who get on the computer don't even know about it? You have people that will do hit jobs for you for a certain price. They're hitmen. They're listed. And they actually show the proof of their hits where they kill people. On this part of the internet, you can buy any drug that you want. You ever heard of Bitcoin? It's a special kind of monetary thing that came out. People are investing in it. They talk about it on TV. But that's the currency for the deep dark web. And you can get anything. Children, sex trafficking, the white slave market. And while so many people are on the internet doing all these things that they, you know, WebMD, or they're looking up Ancestry.com, or they're doing these other things, most of the traffic on the internet is unseen to most people. But people are down there making all kinds of money on all kinds of things. You know, there are websites on the deep dark web that will show live feeds of people being tortured, of people being dismembered, of people being killed. And people use the bitcoins, because they're not traceable to the government, they use the bitcoins to pay for those services. And a lot of it is here in the United States. You know, when Antifa shows up at these places, do you know a lot of times where they got their information? Those hellish sites on the deep dark web that speak to them. The whole militant wing of the Democrat Party gets a lot of their instructions from that part of the web. A lot of communist activities and organizers are going on there in the deep dark web. Well, they're out in public too, but their funding and their agendas, their meetings, those are all planned on the deep dark web. Or classrooms at your normal college or university. You are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, Jesus said. So what is the world that he's talking about? In the world you will have tribulation. Is he speaking about the earth? What does it mean, the earth? No, it is the world that lies under the sway of Satan, the spirit of evil that is now working in the children of disobedience. Satan is called the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. The world is the opposite of the church. What world are you talking about? The world that is the opposite of the church. You are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. It is called this present evil world, Jesus said. While the kingdom of grace is called the world to come. So in this world, it's satanic enemy territory, where if you're going to live for Christ, you definitely know there is a devil, because he's going to fight you every step of the way. If you are going to be one who loves and follows Jesus, you don't doubt there's a devil, because he's going to beat you and tempt you and persecute you every step of the way. I remember right the day after I was born again, the day after Jesus saved me, I turned on the radio and I heard Jerry Falwell just up in Virginia. I was in North Carolina at the time. And he said, this is what he said, and it just happened to, you know, God had me turn on the radio just at that time. And he said this. He said, once you're born again, you might think that the world is going to be full of roses, that it's going to be such an easy life. Now that you've been born again, your sins are washed away, you're a child of God. He says, you think it's going to be easy going. And I actually did. This was just the day after I was saved. I actually thought, oh man, everything's going to be so much better now. I really thought that. And then Mr. Falwell said, but no, you're on the battlefield now. Satan is not at all happy that you become God's child. Unless you influence other of his children, he's going to persecute you, discourage you. Yes, sir.
You know Jerry Falwell staying right where you are?
Yeah, yes, with Pastor Donaldson is the one who led Jerry Falwell to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him a long time ago when he, Doug Oldham was his singer, that real rotund fellow. And he's something else. But he's in heaven now. I think his son's doing an even better job than he did. But the thing is that, like he said, you're just getting in the battle now. He said, if you thought your life was going to be easier, you're in a time of warfare now. And boy, was he right. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to talk about us being at war. Take the sword of the Spirit and so on. As we are in enemy territory. You say, this world belongs to God, it belongs to Christ. You're right.
It does. He is in total control. But He's left it as our trying time, our testing period. For our faith must be tried as it were by fire, that it might be purified. Are we going to go to heaven with no scars, no trials, no tribulations? When Jesus came into this world and He suffered like no other? Are we going to go to heaven without taking up a fight? The only, you know, growing up, we have to go through growing pains. To become a woman, to become a mother, you have to endure great pains. And to be a man, you've got to be willing to suffer what you believe in, to stand on your conviction, and to be firm against those who would do harm to your family, or do harm to your country, or do harm to you. It's not easy. And getting old isn't easy either. As you remember that saying, getting old ain't for sissies. It isn't. Now, I got aches and pains in places I didn't even know I had places. And I'm not even old yet in my brain. The world includes the ungodly. It includes certain customs. It includes certain fashions. It definitely includes a lot of philosophies. It includes desires. And it includes governments. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Paul said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It is a realm and kingdom of darkness from which tribulation will come to us. It will bring you fiery trials, temptations, and persecution. We are strangers and pilgrims in an enemy's country. It cannot satisfy us. It cannot give us peace. It can only bring us fightings. It can only bring us fears and sorrows and troubles and wishing that we hadn't got involved with the world. But Jesus brings peace in the very midst of fiery trials and tribulation. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer," He says. "Be of good courage," the Old Testament would say. "Be of good courage, be of good cheer." And so while this world is not our home, it cannot satisfy it. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. And so yet in the midst of the tribulation of this world, Jesus gives us peace. Thirdly, Christ has overcome this present wicked world. Napoleon might have said He overcame the world when He crushed the nations. Alexander could have said that He conquered the known world. Yet who said that He fully overcame the world? Who said that in the most truthful, honest proclamation that they overcame the world? It was a Galilean in common garments, about to die a savage death, about to be stripped and spit upon and shamed. Yet He says, "I have overcome the world." How has Jesus overcome the world? How did He overcome the world? In His life He overcame the world. He remained fully faithful to His Father's will in perfect obedience as the sinless Son of God. His words were confident with all authority, for He knew that His gospel would conquer in the end, that it was His word would not return to Him void, but it would bring in all of His elect, all He came to die for. Every last one of them would be brought in. "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and he who comes to me I will in no wise cast out." Jesus conquered the world by His calmness. When the world sang His praises, Jesus never lost His self-possession. He left the flatteries of men to be with His Heavenly Father in prayer. He calmly lived for the praise of God above the praise of men. And then when the world cursed Him, He went on as calmly as if they had said nothing. He didn't care whether men praised Him or cursed Him, for He was in fellowship with God. And the opinions of men don't matter. Jesus conquered the world by never stooping to follow its ways. He could have gathered an army to Him, and they were willing. And by His miraculous power, He could have defeated the Romans and converted the Jews. But His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Just think, if He had done that, you and I wouldn't have heard the gospel. You and I wouldn't have a Savior who died for our sins. If Jesus had gathered an army and by His miraculous power made the Jews serve Him as king, we could not have a home in heaven. For without the shedding of His blood, there's no remission of our sins. Jesus conquered the world by never stooping to follow its ways. Jesus conquered the world by the constancy of His love. He loved the most unlovely sinners, and those He loved, He loves forever. Even on the cross, in His darkest hour, in His most fearful, savage pains, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He conquered His enemies by that one saying. He conquered all their hatred. Jesus conquered the world in His death. It was an act of pure unselfishness and self-sacrifice. It was the complete opposite of the world. Most certainly, Jesus overcame by His rising and reigning. When He rose from the dead, that was the final victory. And now He reigns forever. When He rose, He crushed Satan's kingdom and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And He still overcomes daily by His word and by His Spirit, who has set up a kingdom of love and righteousness. And it goes forward every day. Every day, someone hears the gospel. Several people hear the gospel that have never heard it before. And they come to Christ as Savior. And He conquers their hearts. They become like we are, incurable God lovers. Yes, we sometimes stray, but what does our Heavenly Father do? He said, nope, you're not going to live like one of the devil's kids. And He whoops us back. He chastens us because He loves us. And so He conquers us. When we're born again, Jesus comes, steals our hearts, and runs away to heaven with it. And we cannot be happy with anyone else or anywhere else but Jesus in heaven. Every day the name of Jesus brings more light to this poor, sin-darkened world. Every day someone hears the gospel in their language, in a language that no one knew the year before, as far as a United States missionary. But as long as there's frontier missions, as long as there's these other lost tribes missions, as long as there's still the Wycliffe translators, they're still going into areas where a white person has never been in the history of the world, taking the gospel to people who are seeing their first white person and hearing for the first time about Jesus. He's still overcoming the world. And He rules and reigns as Lord of lords and King of kings. He's in control. Now the application is this. First of all, since Jesus conquered the world, we are commanded, it is new covenant law, we are commanded to be of good cheer, of good courage. Jesus commands us, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's a command. Be of good cheer. Why? He promised that we will overcome through faith in Him. He has put His life into us. He has given His Holy Spirit to dwell in us forever. And we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Jesus overcame the world, death, Satan, and hell. Having the Lord's life, His power, and His Spirit within us, you will overcome it too. Let me quote you some verses as we close. "And all these things," we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are persecuted all the day long. And then it's followed by, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Again, "He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age." Another verse, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Amen? Mm-hmm. That's all the forces of hell. And then again, another verse, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe? Then you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. No matter what this world throws at you, I remember Teresa talking to me one day when shortly after I first became pastor here, right after Brother Keith left. And Teresa talked to me and she said, "You know, when you said this, it really, really made an impression on me." And I'll share that with all of you again, and Teresa will remember it. She's probably thinking, "What did I say?" It's when I said, this world, right now, between two eternities, eternity past and eternity future, right now, this world is to those who are lost and going to hell, this is their heaven. They will never know anything better than this world. Now you remember, Teresa?
Yeah.
They will never know anything better than this world. But to those of us who are saved, to those of us who are in Christ, this is our hell. We will never know anything worse than this world. So be of good cheer. Christ has overcome this world. And we are more than conquerors through him. Yeah, this can be hell on earth sometimes. But we can have his supernatural peace. Everything he's said, everything he's done for us, every blessing is pointed in that direction. It begins in his grace and it heads towards his peace. Next time you're reading one of Paul's letters and it says, "Grace and peace be upon you," know what Paul is saying is that every blessing of God that comes upon you, let it grow into your peace. When you eat your food, say grace. You know, how many of you begin eating sometimes and you've forgotten, something isn't right. The food doesn't taste as good or something. You say, "Oh, I forgot to pray." And you pray, and then everything's okay. Amen? Well, that's just an illustration of the peace that God wants us to have always, with every blessing, to let it grow into our peace. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us. We ask you to bless the remainder of our service now. May everything we say and do here today, may this message, may our prayers, our fellowship redound to the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for these blessings, we asked it not in our righteousness, but in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to receive our offering now.